The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its peoples welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' And he said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, will you pray with me? Holy and whole-making God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts this day be holy and whole-making for us and for the salvaging of this world that you, by your grace, have already redeemed. Amen. So, what's new? Don't you just love that question when people ask you that? I don't know about you, but I search through my own head going, "Oh, gee, I'm supposed to come up with something new because I should be exciting and interesting, and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram will condemn me, and there's not something new that I have to share with them. What in the world?" I mean, real friends understand if I go, same old, they go, "Yeah, same for me." But otherwise, people kind of expect something, don't they? Unless you've got something you can point to, this is new, you have somehow failed. That's the implication. But what if we ask a question about something that is not so easily seen on the outside, something on the inside? If today's readings were the answer, the jeopardy question would be, what is being renewed? Not just specifics in that day, like what things are being renewed, but what does it mean to be renewed? If the jeopardy question were, what is being renewed? Then the answer for that question would be today's readings. All three scripture readings for this day have to do with restoration and reformation and renewal. And while there are often outward signs of such inward renewal, they are exactly that, signs. Signs of what is taking place deep within a person and within a community. Renewal does not begin, nor is it always necessarily manifest, in external renovation. Renewal does not happen from the outside in, but from the inside out. And as Jesus makes clear in Paul 2, this renewal is not always welcomed and is too often rejected, but it is never defeated. Though the world, like it or not, the kingdom of God is making its way through the streets of the kingdoms of humanity. And so it was, win or lose, they were to proclaim, "The kingdom of God has passed through your town." So it was that Jesus could tell the 72 disciples, quote, "Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into a street and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has passed through your town.'" But it should not surprise us to note that the signs of this kingdom may look very different than the signs of the kingdoms of humanity, especially when that humanity is forgetting about what it means to be both human and humane. As Lutheran Christians, we ought to be doubly cautious about linking signs of the inward renewal brought about by the kingdom of God and signs of external renovation brought about by the realms of men and women, even when those goals seem noble. Don't confuse the two. Too often, noble goals can be fronts for noblemen. Remember that word, noblemen? Men of power and prestige, eager to maintain and enlarge their own largesse, apart from real humanitarian efforts. How many times it has been revealed that a philanthropist has done his giving solely for personal gain and aggrandizement of his own power. So it is that Paul counsels us with these words, "May I never boast of anything on my own, nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." So what sign shall we seek to distinguish the kingdom of God from the kingdoms of men and women of power? Well, begin with the message that is being disseminated, the message of the gospel. Does it firstly focus on the results that can be expected among the recipients of the message? If so, beware, it's not gospel. Have you heard about Klaus Schwab and the Davos World Economic Forum? Although they are addressing important areas, I have grave concerns about some of their proposed answers, and I am particularly concerned about any attitude that indicates, quote, "Trust us and all will be well. We, the elite, have your best interest at heart." What could go wrong? I'm not going to answer that question. I would encourage you to do your own research. Get beyond the memes. See actually what's going on. On the other hand, apart from the kingdoms and the designs of men, the coming of the kingdom of God is confirmed in its proclamation. In both the gospel reading for today and the epistle to the churches of Galatia, the message of God's kingdom is the peace, the shalom, the message that God has already restored his relationship with us. It is a message that says that we are already accepted and that we are renewed in his renewal of relationship with us. And further, this renewal means that all relationships with all humanity are renewed, even when humanity does not recognize it. For Christ died for all. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world, not just some. And this renewal is not ratified by the adulation of us by others or their seeking our autographs, but rather it is in knowing that our names are written in the book of life. Peace to this house, the 72 are to declare. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you, autograph or no autograph. Remember, they came back and said to the Lord, "Even the demons submit to us." Us! And Jesus said, that's not what it's about. It's about the power of the gospel that reconciles all the world to God in Christ. And you are included in that. So just be grateful that your name is written in the book of life. The declaration of peace to a household is an objective message from God in the very life and death and resurrection of His Son that proclaims that all is set right between the household and the Lord High God. What is truly new is that all creation is recreated anew in Jesus Christ as it was wrestled by Him into the stronghold of His grave, so that the death grip of sin was stripped from grasping us, and we, appearing free from the bondage of others' approval or our own self-righteousness, we might stand in naked confidence before God, who pronounces a word and becomes the word, and the word is forgiveness and peace and shalom and well-being. In the rite of holy baptism, we are expected to quote, and this is from the ritual, the rite in the hymnal, quote, grow in Christian faith and life. And part of that growth is to, quote, work for justice and peace, close quote. Living in justice and peace are indeed values of the kingdom of God, and working for these values in the world is congruent with the kingdom of God, but they are not a substitute for the kingdom of God. Lest we look for the reign of God to be manifest from the outside in rather than the inside out. In other words, as much as I appreciate the social service work of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, to which I made two contributions in this last week, I'm not saying this to boast, but rather to validate the whole idea that we can distinguish and yet at the same time embrace the kingdom of God first, and how we live that out. Second, I made two contributions this week, first local and the second international. If we focus on such work apart from declaring to individuals that their sin is forgiven, that they are reconciled to God through Christ, then we are little more than a Rotary Club with sacraments. So yes, to always giving a proverbial cup of water to providing food and shelter, and each of us banging on the door of government where it has both responsibility and authority to right systemic wrong. But do not rely upon this to do the secret inner transformative work of the gospel in the hearts of individuals. I had the most beautiful gift bestowed upon me on my flight back from a conference in Colorado 2 weekends ago. I was able to get a direct flight into Denver from Nashville on the way there. But on the way back, they had to route me through Kansas City. I've been to the Kansas City airport. Let me tell you, not everything is up to date in Kansas City. But at any rate, I got on the airplane in Denver, sat down next to the window, and I just was seated, and this lovely, beautiful from the inside out, though she was struggling, middle-aged black woman came and sat down next to me. And she no sooner sat down than she looked at me and she said, I want you to know that if I start crying in the middle of this flight, I'm okay. It's just that I'm having to take my husband's ashes home. And I looked down at her feet, and she had one of those large leather bags that a lot of women carry today. They just kind of look like a big book bag, you know? And I could see the red velvet cloth that was covering the package of ashes inside. And I said to her, number one, if you need to cry, you cry. It's okay with me. And number two, I'm here for you if you need anything. She thanked me very much. I asked her how long they'd been married. 38 years. And I said, do you have family to go home to? Yes, my daughter's picking me up from the airport. And by that sentence, she was beginning to come back down, settled in. And she said, oh, and my son met me at the hospital. My husband had a stroke while he was driving, while on business in Colorado. The stroke precipitated an automobile accident. They took him to the hospital, but he didn't make it. I'm so sorry, I said, and I'm here for you. And with that, the conversation just kind of came to a close, and I ordered my bourbon and read my Bible, because I'm doing some continued New Testament studies, and that's what Lutherans do on an airplane. Towards the end of the flight, something in me just felt very moved, and I needed to speak a word of gospel care to this woman without coming across as proselytizing or any of that. I just knew I needed to say something from my heart. And so I said to her, may I tell you something? And she said, yes. And I said, in my Lutheran prayer book, and I was referring to the hymnal, and she said, oh, I went to a Lutheran high school in West Africa when I was a kid growing up. I know the Lutherans. I said, okay. I said, well, there's a prayer in my prayer book that says this. O Lord, you call your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Help us to go forth with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading and your love sustaining, through Christ our Lord. And by the time I got to the end of that prayer, I was in tears and she was in tears. And the kingdom of God was present. And I said to her, I want you to know two things. Number one, you're going to be okay. And number two, God is with you. And she thanked me through her tears. And then I said to her, I'm so grateful I could be with you on your grief journey. It was literally a grief journey, wasn't it? No great systemic program came out of that interaction. But I am convinced, I know within my heart, I felt more connected and dedicated to love in my world and trying to make a change because I recognized our brother's sisterhood, our common humanity. So if you take nothing else away from this, understand, before we can work from the outside, we need to recognize our inner connection with the rest of humanity, recognize it with gratitude, and recognize that God is in that, and in that is the kingdom of God. So what's new? The kingdom of God is being made known in the midst of people who know him, who are known by him. And number two, your charge to go live the good news has just been renewed. In the name of Jesus, amen.